Good morning, everyone. Well, I do say it's a great morning to be out again and see what we can learn from God's Word today. But there's one thing before we go into the study. Before I went on my trip, I asked that God would I'd become closer to the Lord on the trip. And I can truly say that God has led me closer to Him. Through different experiences I learned on that trip. And I'm just so thankful for God today that He does care wherever we are, whatever we're doing. God is there for us. And it just brought me to a new understanding that God is real and it doesn't matter what we face. But I also do want to say I want to thank my parents. They're here this morning. And I feel honored that they came today. It just makes me feel honored for having them here. Being this is my first time having a Bible study here, so I do want to thank them for coming. This morning, we want to look at the title of my Bible study is God's Protection. And God's protection can be in a lot of different forms. In the Bible, there's so many different ways God protects us. A lot of different ways we probably don't even realize. God is out there protecting us day after day if we believe in Him. So I'm doing a study through Life Application Study Bible. It's a year where they... You sign in through my YouVersion on my Bible. I signed in, and it's a year study. We go through the Bible and study different things. And the other day I was reading about God's protection that He has for us. And David characterized God's care with five military signs. Now, we're going to be looking from Psalms 18, but before you turn there, I would like to see how good you are of those five military symbols that David used for God's protection. So I was wondering if you know of the five symbols that David compared God's protection to. Yes, the fortress is one. The shield. That's two. The rock is three. No, that wasn't the one I have in mind. Good try, though. Yeah, that's one, but it's not the one I had in mind. Defender, strong tower, yeah, that's another one. There's still one more. Yes, something similar. No, sword and spear, that's kind of the same thing. David used the horn of salvation as another one. Now the rock, the fortress, the shield, the horn of salvation, and stronghold. So we're going to kind of look at five of those. Now stronghold and fortress are somewhat the same, but a little different. So we're going to look at each of them this morning and how we can view it as the spiritual sense to our lives today. On a more practical level. So let's turn to Psalm 18, and it'll show us, we'll read over a couple verses here. So So Psalm 18, we'll read the first few verses here. It says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength, the Lord of my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So there we have all five. Now the first one I have here is a rock. And when you think of a rock, some of us farmers don't think they look very pretty, but you look at a mason man and he thinks they look very nice. And I'm beginning to like, as I work with at the mason place, I'm beginning to like rocks a little more and how they look. They do look very nice. As we compare a rock and God, God is like our rock. And I believe everyone believes that here. He, as David, you know, as they're in battle out there, you can't shoot through a rock now unless you have more powerful equipment than they did back then. Yes, you can shoot through a rock today with bombs and whatever else you have. But looking at it, you cannot shoot through a rock. Therefore, you are protected. And God is like our rock. And if you look at, say, let's look at a house. And you start off with a cornerstone, I believe. Normally, everyone starts there. And as I imagine, they start off with a big rock. You know, is where you want something firm and strong. And I look at that as Jesus Christ is our rock and our salvation today. But we look to Christ. He is at the corner of our house protecting us from anything that comes. So Psalms 19:14. It just says there, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God is our protector. He is the one we want to stand by. He is our rock. And you know, as we look at the church today, God should be at the front, and everybody, and we all fit in. You know, on a house, you need different rocks. You need big rocks. You need small rocks. And I look at us as today, all fitting together in church with God at the head. You know, we need everybody. But we all need to focus on the one rock, Jesus Christ. So I have a question here. If God's our rock, does God ever put a stumbling block in front of us? Does he ever make us want to fall? You know, as we think of God as our rock and our salvation, God is our protector in life, does he ever put a stumbling block in front of us? Johnny.
I believe God made us creatures of choice. I think he will allow us to stumble, but I don't believe he will put a stumbling block. Maybe I'm not answering your question how you... Maybe that wasn't quite what you were wondering even.
Lawrence.
In some of our, my experiences, I guess, with those choices, I would say that, I mean, it's not really a stumbling stone, but it can seem like it for the time that he does, in his protectiveness, put things in the way of what our choices are taking us, or have been taking me to. So, stumbling stone or something else, but it kind of stumbles for the moment, for the sake of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George?
Is the reason is not to make us stumble, I don't think, or to see us fall. I don't see him doing that. I see him putting things in our way, but it's always to turn us to something better. Mm-hmm. I don't see God as putting something in our way simply to make us fall down.
Yes, I believe that's right.
Bible tells us that he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So if we stumble and he causes us to stumble, so we might be broken, I guess. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Anyone have any more thoughts on Abe?
I think it says that he's a stumbling block or a offense to those that do not believe. I don't think that's for somebody that's walking clear of the light, like in the gospel. I don't think God's just gonna put something in their way that will actually cause harm to them. But it's more of maybe it would be a roadblock more than stumbling, of what we think of as stumbling maybe.
I can't find it in the Bible, but is that just hymns that talk about hiding in the cleft of the rock? Or does the Bible not say that? Is that just... I'm having a bit of a bump there. But in Hebrews it says that we have fled for refuge. And you're referring to believers now. That's kind of the mind I'm on. And I believe in Christ. I don't believe there's a rock of stumbling or offense there, but that rock remains even when we are faithless. And that's great hope for the believer. That when we lose heart, the rock doesn't roll away and leave us exposed. Mm. And for me, that's great. That's humongous hope.
I just thinking of the rock. Maybe not answering your question necessarily, but you know, it doesn't take a very big rock to stop us. Like an excavator can only lift how big of a rock? Not really that big, not as big as this church. And that's a small rock. As you look at a mountain and see a rock like that, and it's like, oh, that's God. You can't even think of moving God. God is not going to be. But David said, God is my strength. He is my rock. This is the amount of strength God is toward us. Just a picture of it, I guess. I love that.
Yes, I do want to thank you all for those thoughts. And I thought of another story, too, in the Bible where it talks of the wise men and the foolish men building their house upon the rock. You know, the wise man built himself on Jesus Christ, on the solid rock. And you know, there's many different kinds of rocks today. There's ones that crumble, but there's ones that are strong. And I just had to think, you know, are we planted on the rock of God? Or are we stumbling over other rocks that is not Jesus Christ? You know, it just brought me to realize, you know, is my faith on that one solid rock, or am I wavering beside somewhere else and stumbling over, you know, sometimes we can stumble over a gravel stone, you know? Am I letting myself fall away from that one solid rock, Jesus Christ? Is what I want to bring here today, as I want us to just think again, is my feet planted on Jesus Christ, our cornerstone, our firm rock, the head of the church, as you can think of it, is our feet planted there? Does anyone have any more thoughts about the rock of God before we move on to the next one? Okay, we're going to move on to the shield. Now, when you think of the shield, back in the Bible time, you know, they used it in war to guide the, you know, from all the fiery darts of the wicked or whatever, you know, the enemy would shoot at you. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, is God that shield for us? Is He the one that protects us from all the evil around us? In Ephesians 6, it talks again about the shield. Ephesians 6. 16, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, when we... Now, it's a question I had again. When does God stop? Let's say that the evil one is throwing stuff at us. When does God stop the darts of the wicked from hitting us until He just doesn't stop them anymore for us? When does God do that, if you know what I'm trying to say? Our God is a shield, but when does He do? How long does He shield us until He doesn't shield us anymore?
If it's a shield of faith, it would be if we have faith, He protects us by our faith. And if we don't have faith, there's no shield.
Right. The mic up here. Mic good.
My thought is similar to that, but in the case of a shield, it will protect you if you're behind it. And I think if the darts get us, it's because it's not because the shield wasn't there, it's because we weren't properly behind the shield.
The kind of shields people used in battle, you hung on to it. It was something you had on your hand. And it was a tool. And so that works well with what Ivan said. It's you have to believe and put it in the place where the enemy is attacking you.
In Genesis 15:1, it said, "And these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." And there again, it shows us God is our shield, and we have to take it by faith and believe in Jesus, the rock of our salvation. And you know, if we don't take it by faith, just like Ivan says, then we don't have too much to cling on to God as our shield and our rock. So as we think of go ahead.
I was just thinking of what you're saying. God is our shield. You can't see God. We believe Him. We trust Him. We love Him. Mm-hmm. He is the Creator. He is, if God is what He says He is, our shield can't fail. Because He is, in the scope of things, we can't even be seen for how big God is and how powerful and strong He is. It's quite comforting, isn't it? And He says, I will not fear. Fear. We fear. Many times we fear because we aren't like David. I think that's one of my bigger things. And I was thinking of another scripture that says that before they call, I will answer. Sometimes I don't even know if I have faith or not, but God's answering me before I even thought of calling Him. He is shielding me before I realized what was happening, before I even knew to put up the shield or hop behind or whatever. He was already there. And it's awesome.
Hopefully this is, I don't, with this whole thing about faith, people who struggle with faith and really wrestle, you know, they get taken down by something in life and then they can come that, whatever comes to their mind, you know, I mustn't have had enough faith. And just to kind of underscore what you're saying there in 1 Peter, it says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If you read that whole chapter, it talks about how God doesn't only defend those who are strong and have it all together. He defends those who make an effort to have faith in even a small, and I guess that, yeah, and I, what you're saying, I appreciate, but if someone is here and wondering whether maybe they don't have enough faith, even faith is a gift from God. And so, yeah, it's good news for the believer.
So as we think of this spiritual realm today as a shield, what does God all protect us from as of today? As we think of practical life today, in our spiritual lives, God is our shield. What does He all protect us from today?
God promises that He won't allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear, in the sense of temptation from like spiritual adversity and temptation from Satan. However, I don't think He ever promised us to protect us from the consequences of our own actions. So sometimes we are dealing with consequences and we'd like to blame God for not protecting us, but it's really consequences for either disobedience or sin or whatever. That's not the same thing as temptation from Satan. They're two different things, and I think it's important that we keep those separated and remember that.
Well, if anyone has any more thoughts, we'll... Oh, Mike up here again.
Ephesians talks about the shield protecting us from the fiery darts of the wicked. And we all know that those are not arrows as such today, but the wicked one uses pretty much whatever method he thinks will get us, and God's shield will protect us from all of his tricks.
Yes, I believe that's right. And that's the one thing that is so amazing with God. If we have faith, He protects us. And if you don't have faith in God, well, the enemy might get you. But with God's protection and we take it by faith, it's like I said before, God is there for us. So the next one we want to look at here is the fortress. And a fortress is a fortress and a stronghold are somewhat dissimilar, are somewhat the same. A fortress, as I was doing my study, it's like a mountain castle. You know, where the enemy can't get. You place yourself up on the top of the mountain, probably they can't get you so good there. They're going to have to climb up the mountain. You think of a Mount Everest, you have to climb up there. It's hard work. You look at it as God placing you up on a high mountain. Think of it as a city with big walls around, and God is on top of there protecting you from all the evil. But you have to climb up the mountain to the city and believe in God that He will protect you. And once you're in the refuge of God, He will always have you, always have your protection, unless we start falling away from God. And you know what happens from there. So, Psalms 91 is my favorite psalm. Psalms 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I think this is why David used the fortress, is once we're in there, we feel safe. You know, you think of it as your house. When you get into your house, you feel safe, right? You don't feel like anything's going to get you. If there's a storm outside, you go into the house, you feel safe. It's the same as we look at God today. When we're in His protection, we feel safe. When we run from trouble to God, He protects us. And that is what we want to experience today and until God returns, is His protection, His love. We take it by faith, and that'll get us through the rest of our life if we believe on Jesus. Psalms 31:3 is another one. Just here it says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore my namesake, lead me and guide me." There we have it again. God is like our rock and our fortress. And if we're in there, we're safe. You know, it's like when I was over in Greece. The people would come from Turkey and land on Greece, Lesbos Island, and you could tell they felt safe. It's kind of like when we became a Christian. When we got to where we repented and became as Christ's saints, we felt safe. You know, nothing could come at us. But you know, if we let down our shield or fall away from God, the evil one will throw the darts at us in any shape or form. It doesn't matter what it is. He'll take it if wherever we're the weakest. The evil one will be there. So what, have any thoughts on the fortress that you might have?
Thinking of the difference between a rock and a fortress, a rock is something in my mind that you go hide behind, but you're still sort of in fear. Whereas the fortress, again in my mind, is a place of safety where you can almost live normally inside. It's like a house, or you can function. You don't have to, sure, the enemy's outside, but you can function inside. And I think that's how it is in the Christian life. We can, if we're secure in God, we can live our lives. We can enjoy life. We can eat. We can, you know, we're not just hiding behind the rock in fear that the dart might hit us or it might not.
If I understand what a stronghold is also has many military men on the wall fighting out on your behalf. So if you're in the fortress having lunch, like Mike said, there'll be many other men on the wall protecting you from the army coming in. So I don't know what kind of analogy you want to make to that, but it might look more like the church, your guardian angel, or your spouse, who protects you when you can't protect yourself or aren't smart enough to think that far ahead.
I Well, I think we'll move on to the next one, the horn of salvation. The horn of salvation. A horn, you think of a horn and salvation. What does that have in common for us today?
Horn symbolizes strength, I think. So it could be like the flag of a national country. Something we look to, something, an assurance. Assurance that that assurance is a protection.
Mm-hmm. I looked up the definition of a horn, and it says a symbol of royal dignity and power. And as we look to God, that is where our strength and power comes from. And we could look at it as the same as a horn. You know, you take, for instance, you look at a goat and its horn, and they use it as a protection for them. But when their horn is broken, they're not really good. So, and as we compare it to God and to us, it's like God is out there on the front of us, but God never breaks. God is always strong and powerful, and we can always look up to Him for our protection. Now in Luke 1:69, it has it says and has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant. Now I wasn't sure what that all means. I thought maybe I could get a few answers from you.
The whole analogy of warfare that we're considering this morning is would be old-style warfare, whatever you want to call it, hand-to-hand combat. They didn't have gunpowder, so they didn't have cannons, they didn't have air power, so they didn't have jets and bombs and that kind of stuff. It was hand-to-hand combat. So the horn, you can read in history that when the armies went out to battle to confront the enemy, they'd have a battle song, like their own song for that army, or a certain instrument or something like that, that sort of revved them up to really get their vitality flowing to go out there to confront the enemy. And the verse you read here in Luke is in the prophecy of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and I believe that horn of salvation is referring to Christ. And he's our battle cry, he's our song, he's the one that we can stand behind as a shield as we go out to do warfare with all the satanic intrigues, his fiery darts and so forth. And he's the one we stand for. He's the one we fight for. He's the one that goes to battle for. We follow him in the battle. And so he's the horn. He's the one that sounds the battle cry when he alerts us that there's spiritual warfare at hand. I can just sum it all up. It's all in Christ.
Thank you.
I was thinking about along that line too, about you take the battle at Jericho. They had faith, and so they marched around, just did exactly what God told them to do. Mm-hmm. And then the priests blew the trumpet, and in that era, an animal's horn was what was used as a trumpet. And that's my mind went down that road too. And so they blew the trumpet, even though they had seen nothing yet. But they proclaimed victory, and then it came.
Well, I see my time's almost up here. We'll go on to the stronghold a bit here. It's somewhat, I put it the similar, the same as a fortress. A stronghold high above our enemies. You know, as we look to God, He is our stronghold, and He will always be. He's high above our enemies, and He protects us from everything and anything. So today, I just want us to remember, God is our protection. Believe in Him, and He will protect you from all the fiery darts of the wicked. And whatever you face today, God is there for you. Thank you for your thoughts and your participation. Thanks.